Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
OPEC Part 2.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Western leaders are paying very close attention to a meeting taking place today in Qatar. That's where Russia and other leading gas exporters are meeting. The fear is that an OPEC kind of gas cartel will be created. The Financial Times quotes an EU energy commissioner as saying if gas isn't traded openly, he would do everything to push for a big investment in nuclear power. Since contracts are made with long delivery schedules, like 15 years or more, it's not clear just how such a cartel would work. More China bashing is on the way from Washington. Any day now, the White House is expected to file a pair of complaints, one about piracy and counterfeits, another about how Beijing doesn't do enough to fight it. From our Shanghai Bureau, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
The WTO cases will argue China's too easy on counterfeiters, especially the folks who sell bootleg DVDs here for 75 cents. Attorney Lester Ross represents multinationals in China. He says the problem is there aren't enough legal films to start out with. China allows in just 20 foreign movies per year. Everything else, by definition, is illegal.
You're just creating a market, essentially, for pirated goods by barring the sale of legitimate goods.
Another complaint is that Chinese laws against piracy are too weak, its fines too low. This is the third trade fight Washington has picked with China in just 2 months. Law professor Tu Xingchun thinks Beijing has to respond in order to avoid more penalties and sanctions.
Although the Chinese government is dissatisfied with the criticism from Washington, it still has to do something to make a visible progress.
Indeed, Chinese law now makes it easier to prosecute counterfeiting as a serious crime. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Asian markets soared this morning. Shanghai had a record close, and in Tokyo, the Nikkei shot up 258 points, almost 1.5%. Wall Street ends a three-day weekend today after being closed for Good Friday. We'll find out this morning what investors think about the strong job report on Friday. The government says employers added 180,000 new jobs in March. Dow Chemical is reportedly the target of what could be the world's biggest ever leveraged buyout. The British tabloid The Sunday Express says several Middle Eastern investors, along with American buyout firms, are joining together and preparing a $50 billion bid. This story follows reports in recent months that strategic changes were afoot at Dow, which has been moving towards a focus on specialty chemicals. The vaccine Prevnar has been controversial because of its high cost, but pediatricians have embraced it because it prevents deadly diseases like meningitis. Now, a recent study in the journal Lancet shows it also cuts pneumonia cases in kids and adults. From the health desk at WGBH, Helen Palmer has more.
Prevnar earns drug maker Wyeth $1.5 billion a year. No surprise, says Marie Griffin of Vanderbilt University.
Children need to get 4 doses of the vaccine, and each dose costs about $60.
Griffin, a professor of preventive medicine, found 39% fewer children were hospitalized after the vaccine was introduced in 2000.
That translates into about 41,000 fewer pneumonia admissions in 2004.
Government figures peg the cost for a child's hospital stay for pneumonia at nearly $12,000, so the vaccine saves nearly $500 million a year. Of course, vaccinating all those kids costs nearly $750 million. But Prevnar also prevents deadly infections. Kaiser Permanente's Thomas Ray studied what that was worth.
There's a life year saved for every $7,500 that you spend.
Ray says fewer pneumonia infections make this vaccine look even more cost-effective. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By Medtronic, applauding the many contributions of America's volunteers. You can find volunteer opportunities in your community today by visiting volunteermatch.org. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
How good are you at trivia? Here's a multiple choice question about the father of our country, George Washington. Washington, A, chopped down a cherry tree but couldn't lie about it, B, had wooden teeth, or C, was one heck of a whiskey distiller. Marketplace's Hillary McKay has the answer.
Near the end of his life, George Washington was the nation's largest producer of whiskey. In 1799, he distilled 11,000 gallons.
Everybody thinks they know something about George Washington. Frankly, most of what they know is wrong. You know, myths like the cherry tree and the wooden teeth, of course.
Dennis Pogue is the director of restoration at General Washington's home in Mount Vernon. Now visitors can see and smell a bit of accurate history brewing. Just this month, a rebuilt version of Washington's distillery opened to the public. Reenactors in continental dress pour boiling water over the rye, corn, and barley. They stir the sweet mash, then cook it in a copper still where the steamy alcohol is condensed and collected. And Pogue has a theory as to how this bit of economic history got separated from the George Washington we know.
Some of it was purposeful. And Washington actually was seized upon in the 19th century by folks, you know, in the temperance movement. They sort of rewrote history, and they maintained that Washington didn't drink and was, you know, opposed to alcohol.
Even Peter Cressy, the president of the Distilled Spirits Council of the U.S., didn't know of Washington's whiskey making. But once he found out, Cressy and the distillers and wholesalers he represents quickly raised a couple of $1 million to help fund the archaeological digging and rebuilding of the distillery. And they put their own spin on Washington. He was no teetotaler.
He represents all the things that are great about American values, entrepreneurship, moderation, social responsibility. So it was a natural for us to do it.
It took special legislation, but last month the governor of Virginia signed off on Mount Vernon selling some of the presidential hooch that's faithfully made according to Washington's recipe. Some call it Washington's liquid gold. At a recent ceremony opening the distillery, the actor playing Washington gave it the praise history now tells us the first president would have.
Well, my dear friends, raise your glasses in a toast on three whose ours for the whiskey. Huzzah! Huzzah! Huzzah!
In Mount Vernon, I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.